Way back in 1972, a singer and songwriter by the name of Gilbert O'Sullivan wrote, recorded, and released a quirky but sad little song called Alone Again, Naturally. Some of the lyrics go, in a little while from now, it's hard not to sing a song when you know the song. But in a little while from now, if I'm not feeling any less sour, I promise myself to treat myself and visit a nearby tower. And climbing to the top will throw myself off. You didn't see that coming, did you? Then he talks about why he had decided to do that. He tells about being left waiting at the altar. And where, when the crowd eventually said, there's no point in us remaining, we may as well go home, as I did on my own, alone again, naturally. Talks about how happy he had been the previous day. But then he says, reality came around and knocked me down, cutting me into little pieces. He then asks, why did God desert me in my hour of need? I truly am indeed alone again, naturally. The last verse he talks about losing his father, then losing his mother. Then his last words are, and when she passed away, I cried and cried all day, alone again, naturally. There's the song All By Myself, written by Eric Carmen, sung by Eric Carmen, 1975, put out again by Celine Dion 20 years later. All By Myself, I don't want to be all by myself anymore. We could go on. Hank Williams, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Elvis Presley, Just Take a Little Walk Down Lonely Street. To Heartbreak Hotel, Elvis again, Are You Lonesome Tonight? Only the Lonely, Roy Orbison. Eleanor Rigby by the Beatles, All the Lonely People, Where Do They All Come From? All the Lonely People, Where Do They All Belong? James Taylor, Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight. America, This Is For All the Lonely People, thinking that life has passed them by. Owner of a Lonely Heart, the group Yes. And the last song I'll mention was written more than a century ago. It's been recorded numerous times in various genres. It was recorded by Rosemary Clooney, Woody Guthrie, Louis Armstrong, the Village People, of all people, YMCA and Macho Man. Anyway, if you don't know who they are, you're a lucky person. And by David Lee Roth, lead singer of Van Halen. Now, if that's not a mix of selections there. The song is, I Ain't Got Nobody. Few of the lines are, I ain't got nobody, nobody cares for me, I'm so sad and lonely. Each version I've heard of this song was sung in a lighthearted manner, and maybe some of this is gallows humor, making light of a dark subject. But it needs to be said that there's nothing lighthearted about loneliness. Loneliness is no laughing matter. Genesis chapter 1 records the creation of the world. 7 times in that chapter we read that God saw that the things he had made were good. Verse 4, God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Verse 10, God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12, the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. Verses 17 and 18, God set the sun and the moon and the stars in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate light from darkness, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems, and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25, God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. Then comes this summary in verse 31. It says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Then in chapter 2, we see God placing man in the Garden of Eden and having made the observation, after having made this observation, that everything that he had created was good. In chapter 2, verse 18, God looked at the man and said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." The first thing God declared to be not good was loneliness. And loneliness still plagues humanity today. Everybody's experienced loneliness. Everybody knows what it's like to be lonely, to feel alone. King David knew loneliness. Psalm 25, 16, "Turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone and in deep distress." Again, Psalm 142, verse 4, King David said, "Look to the right and see, there is no one who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul." 1 Kings chapters 17, 18, and 19, very well-known chapters there about Elijah. He was called to prophesy against Ahab, the king of Israel, and he proclaimed that a drought was going to be sent by God. Immediately after his proclamation, Elijah had to flee for his life. He went into the wilderness where the ravens brought him food. That'd get kind of lonely. Then when the water dried up, God called him to go even further into exile, north of the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, where he ended up in the home of a widow and her son. After 3 years in exile, God sent him to confront King Ahab. This is when he challenged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And after that confrontation, he had to flee for his life again. Traveled about 250 miles from Samaria to Mount Horeb, where he was alone again. When God talked to Elijah on that occasion, Elijah told God that he was the only one remaining person trying to serve the Lord. In fact, Elijah said, "I alone am left." Everyone who's ever lived has experienced loneliness. Let's take a few moments to consider some of the causes of loneliness. First, it needs to be said that there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. Solitude is not the same as loneliness. You can be alone and not be lonely. In fact, success in most areas requires a lot of time spent alone, studying or training or working out or practicing a golf swing, practicing piano scales, and the list goes on and on. Lots of people like being alone. Being alone, again, is not necessarily a problem. Feeling alone, loneliness, therefore, is the problem. We sometimes create loneliness for ourselves because we have intentionally or unintentionally isolated ourselves through either negative attitudes and actions or critical spirits or cynicism. Loneliness sometimes occurs through no fault of our own, by the loss of a friend or a loved one or other matters that are out of our control. Loneliness often afflicts those who are in leadership positions. King Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapters 18, 19, and 20, he was certainly in a leadership role. During a conflict with Assyria, a huge army of nearly 200,000 soldiers surrounded the city of Jerusalem. He had tried to pay off the king of Assyria. That didn't work. He had no allies to deliver him. None of his advisors could help. King of Israel, king of Judah, in fact, alone, on his own. But he went to the temple and he prayed to God, and God heard him and answered his prayer. There's cultural loneliness, where our technology, social media, is making us more connected than ever. Yet at the same time, we're often more distant from each other and more distant from true emotional connections. And loneliness can be the result of having standards. When we stand for values, decency, honor, morality, righteousness, people will often cut us off. you can feel alone in the middle of a crowded room. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Those who choose the easy path, the broad way, will often choose not to associate with those who have chosen the difficult path. Those are a few of the causes of loneliness, and then the effects of loneliness show that this is no lighthearted matter. Henry Nouwen, in his book Reaching Out, said these words, "Loneliness is one of the most universal sources of human suffering today. Psychiatrists and clinical psychologists speak about it as the most frequently expressed complaint and the root of not only an increasing number of suicides, but also of alcoholism, drug abuse, and other major physical and psychological problems. Loneliness can become debilitating since those who suffer from it often feel insecure, inadequate, restless, and confused. Loneliness impacts physical health. Loneliness and isolation can obviously lead to health complications. It raises stress hormone levels. It causes inflammation. It increases your risk of experiencing heart disease, stroke, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, dementia. And of course, loneliness becomes a higher risk factor the older a person gets. Loneliness impacts mental health. As loneliness increases, the risk for depression increases. It impacts spiritual health. Loneliness can make people feel empty, unwanted, unloved. That challenges people spiritually. We're affected in these ways because we are made for relationship. God created us for community, and we have that need deeply wired within us. Earlier we read Genesis 2:18, where God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." We each have a built-in need for deep, satisfying relationships. I'm taking a few moments to consider how to cure loneliness. I'm going to suggest four things. First, or number one, turn off your cell phone. The year 2020 caused tremendous loneliness, isolation, quarantine, remote learning, remote work, social distancing, masks that cover smiles, schools closed, family vacations canceled. But a lot of isolation and loneliness is self-inflicted. We connect on social media, but a 2018 study found that heavy social media use can actually increase feelings of social isolation by 3 times. Some people are living their lives with very little actual human contact and personal interaction while blaming other things besides the phone stuck on the end of their nose. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16 says, "Be very careful how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." I would challenge anyone to prove that spending 4, 5, 6 hours a day on social media or gaming or whatever other things is a wise use of time. Second solution for loneliness is to focus your attention and your energy on other people. Pour your life into others instead of waiting for someone to fill the emptiness in yours. Shortly after Elijah's complaint about being the only one left, in order to pull Elijah out of his depression, in order to cure him of his loneliness, God gave him errands that required him to focus on others. He was to anoint Jehu as king. He was to anoint Elisha as prophet, and then to begin putting his energies into being a mentor to Elisha. It's been said that a life all wrapped up in itself makes a very small package. And that's what happens when we give in to loneliness and depression. After telling his people, all people, to love God supremely. Jesus said that's the greatest command. He said that the second greatest command was that we love each other. Loving others involves serving others. It involves caring for others. It involves being involved in the lives of others. The early church operated as a community that loved and served one another. And in order to combat loneliness, we need to make reading God's Word a priority each day. Consider spending some time in the Psalms each day. Read one psalm a day. Read a few psalms a day. Some of them are very short. God's Word teaches us how to live. It teaches us how to relate to God. It teaches us how to be a friend, how to discern right and wrong. Research says that people who read the Bible four times or more a week are 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness. And then we need to spend time alone with God. Sometimes loneliness is what God uses to draw us to Himself. Jesus stressed the need for being alone with God when He said, "When you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly." Being alone presents the perfect opportunity to strengthen our relationship with God. On numerous occasions, Jesus made intentional efforts to go off and be alone with God. James chapter 4, James tells us to draw near to God and He will draw near to you. The perfect setting for drawing near to God is a setting of being alone. The beauty of prayer is that you can pray anywhere, anytime. So if you're alone somewhere, in the middle of a crowd, in school, at work, you can pray to God. He is with you. You are not alone. We need to pursue a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. The entire story of Scripture is that of God reaching out to His children to have a relationship with Him. Being alone provides that opportunity to nurture that. Everyone has experienced loneliness. Great people, lowly people, rich people, poor people, educated people, uneducated people. But if you're lonely, you need to understand that you are not truly alone. In the book of Hebrews, speaking to Christians, the writer points out in chapter 13 and verse 5 that God Himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Our society is plagued by loneliness. Despite efforts to find relief in relationships, material possessions, or activities, there's no true solution apart from the God who created us. Only God can satisfy empty hearts. And He does so with a relationship through His Son, Jesus Christ. To overcome loneliness, we must turn to Him. As heartbreaking as it can be, loneliness can actually serve as a catalyst for change and growth. It prompts us to draw closer to God. I believe it's safe to say that every person here this morning has had a desire and continues to have the desire to have a stronger relationship with God. There are no better opportunities presented to us to strengthen our relationship with Him than when we are alone, alone with no one but ourselves and our Heavenly Father.